Right now, the friendly skies got a little cloudy yesterday for employees of United Airlines after a federal judge approved a plan to terminate the company's pension programs. This ruling clears the way for the largest pension default in history. It releases United from more than $3 billion in pension obligations, that over the next 5 years. The Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation, a branch of the Labor Department, will now assume control of retirement benefits for United's more than 100,000 employees. Joining us now from his office in Washington, D.C. is Bradley Belt, Executive Director of the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation. And since we're going to be using the term a lot, we'll just call it the PBGC. If you're a United employee worried about your pension or a retiree whose pension is already handled by PBGC, give us a call. Our number is 800-989-TALK, 800-989-8255. You can send us an email at totn@npr.org. Bradley Belt, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
Sure. How bad is United's pension shortfall?
Well, as you noted, it is unfortunately the largest corporate pension default in the agency's history by some. It's almost $10 billion in underfunding. That is, the liabilities, the promises made to United's workers exceed the assets in the pension plan by about $10 billion.
Now, you can't pick up all of that.
It is, in fact, that's the purpose of the pension insurance program, is to make good on those pension promises, those shortfalls. There are, however, under law, under rules established by Congress, limits on the amount of the pension guarantee that the PBGC is able to cover. That would still amount to almost $7 billion. But unfortunately, employees in aggregate will lose almost $3 billion in promised benefits. But the PBGC will stand ready to make good on most of those promises made by the airline to its employees and retirees.
And how does it work? Does each pensioner get a percentage of what they would have gotten, or is there a cap so that
there is a cap. Yeah. It's a cap that adjusts on an annual basis, much like Social Security benefits go up over time. It amounts to a little over $45,000 a year for somebody taking a benefit, an annuity benefit, at age 65.
Well, speaking of Social Security, we've heard some dire predictions about where that might be headed. Where would your fund be headed if this trend continues?
Well, as we've reported at the end of the last fiscal year, the pension insurance program's single employer program, that is, pension plans sponsored by private sector companies, is in deficit by more than $23 billion. And there's still a substantial amount of exposure facing the pension insurance program. So it's a fairly deep hole, and it has the potential to get much deeper unless we make some needed changes in law. And that's what the administration has proposed to do, so that this tragic situation doesn't arise in the future.
And what are those proposals?
There are various aspects to it, but first and foremost is to strengthen the funding rules, and that's the most important aspect of this. There are rules and regulations in place now that are designed to ensure that companies responsibly fund their pension plans. Unfortunately, those rules and regulations and laws are riddled with loopholes, and we need to close those. United has made the point of the fact that they complied with all the funding rules, and notwithstanding that, their pension plan is more than $10 billion underfunded. That should not be the case. Companies need to fully fund the pension promises they've made to their workers and retirees. So the first element of the administration's reform proposal is to strengthen the funding rules so that companies begin to fill the hole. If they're underfunded now, they make up that gap over a reasonable period of time. We're suggesting 7 years. Secondly, that we need to have premiums in the system that cover all the expected losses, both the incurred losses as well expected losses, and that those premiums are designed to be paid by companies who, primarily by companies that are engaging in riskier behavior that pose a higher risk of loss to the pension insurance program. And thirdly, and very importantly, to improve disclosure, to make sure that participants in pension plans, as well as shareholders in companies and even the regulators, have the types of information they need, material, relevant, and timely information about the funded status of the pension plan as well as the financial health of the company, so that everybody's in a position to make more informed decisions.
I'm talking to Bradley Belt, who is the executive director of the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation, a division of the Labor Department that takes on pension plans when companies say they can no longer make payments and live up to the promises they made to their employees. The number is 800-989-8255. That's going to happen for United Airlines employees now that the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation, PBGC, has taken over that particular pension. 800-989-8255 is the number to call. Skip is on the line from Kansas City. Hi, Skip.
Hi. How you doing today?
Good.
I'm a PBGC employee, or not employee, but a recipient of the funding for a fund that was set up for TWA.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that your guest there probably is familiar with the large debt that was incurred by the PBGC when TWA went into bankruptcy.
I am, and it's also been the case with not only TWA, unfortunately, but also Pan Am, Eastern, Braniff, and more recently U.S. Airways.
Well, what I can't figure out is why we can't hold these people accountable for funding these programs. I mean, to me, it seems like there's a tremendous amount of money that should be going into these funds that's not. And that seems to me like that ought to be some kind of a criminal offense.
Well, Skip, as someone might say, there ought to be a law, and in fact, there are laws in place that when they were enacted were really intended to make sure that companies had enough assets in their pension plans to be able to make good on their commitments or obligations they've made to their workers and retirees. Unfortunately, as we have painfully found out, all the stakeholders lose when pension plans terminate in underfunded status. The rules simply haven't worked as intended, and that's the reason that the administration, the president, have proposed a set of reforms to these rules to make sure that we close these loopholes so this problem doesn't arise again in the future. But we also have to understand that it's a relatively few number of companies, and unfortunately a lot of them have been in the airline industry, that actually have terminated their pension plans, and they've been very underfunded when that has happened. Fortunately, the vast majority of of companies have prudently managed their pension obligations. They're reasonably well-funded. The companies are healthy. They're going to be able to make good on the commitments that they've made to their workers and retirees. What we do need to avoid is those rarer circumstances where companies run into financial difficulty, they're sponsoring a pension plan, and there are not enough assets in that pension plan. We want to make sure that there are enough assets so the promises they've made to the workers and retirees are able to be kept.
Skip,
you're about the airline industry. But it seems to be affecting the airline industry more than some of the other industries.
Well, this is actually follows on the heels. What's happening in the airline industry is really following on the heels of what happened in the steel industry, another industry that has faced new competitive pressures, global competition. In the steel industry, as you may recall, there have been a number of American steel companies that were really icons of business and industry for decades that are no longer with us. Bethlehem Steel, LTV, Weirton Steel, Wheeling Pit, all of those, PBGC's had to assume responsibility for their pensions as well.
Hey, Skip, let me ask you a question. You a question. What percentage of your pension are you getting?
Probably about a third of what I should be drawing.
So 30% of your pension is actually coming through, what you would have gotten otherwise. Yeah.
What's that?
So you're getting 30%.
Yeah,
roughly.
That's what I said. It's about a third of what I should be getting. So you're saying it's even less than a third. It's 30%.
Something like, well, I'm just asking 33%. But you were saying earlier I got from you that, Bradley, that it was going to be a greater percentage than that.
Well, the Skip situation is a particularly unfortunate one. Throughout PBGC's history, the fact is that most participants are fully covered by the maximum guarantee limit. We pay benefits at up to a level of $45,000 a year for someone taking an annuity at age 65. If they retire earlier or want to take benefits before then, just as is the case with the Social Security system, then there is an actuarial adjustment downwards. But most workers that are in the system are not in a position to earn a pension that pays more than $45,000 a year. But some are. There's no question about that. And they're the ones that are hurt most when a pension plan is terminated. And really, everybody loses when a pension plan terminates an underfunded status.
Well, what about, let me stop you there. A second time you said that. What about stockholders? How do they lose?
Well, stockholders have typically been wiped out. You look in the United situation, you know, stockholders lost everything. The company's in bankruptcy. There is no value for equity holders. So it's an important point, I think, to note that shareholders in companies need to be paying close attention to the financial status of the pension plan sponsored by the company to make sure that they're not exposed to risk as well, just as the case with the participants. Shareholders have a very real interest in making sure the company fully funds its pension plan, because if the level of underfunding becomes so significant that it is part of the reason a company may have to pursue Chapter 11 bankruptcy, it's the equity holders that get wiped out first.
Now, you talked about the airline industry and the steel industry. Are there other industries that are going to follow very, very shortly?
Well, the majority of the PBGC's claims by dollar volume in the past have come from two industry sectors, steel and airlines, but by no means have our losses been limited to those two industries. There's other large companies that have had to terminate their pension plans, Polaroid, Kemper Insurance, Kaiser Aluminum, and a host of others. More recently, we've seen bankruptcies being filed by a number of auto parts suppliers, Tower Automotive, Oxford, Meridian, Amcast, Intermet, and others, which is obviously cause for concern as well. But PBGC has disclosed that at the end of the last year, we had almost $100 billion of additional exposure to companies who were junk bond rated that sponsored underfunded pension plans.
You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm talking with Bradley Belt, Executive Director of the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation. We're talking about how they have just taken over United Airlines Pension Fund, and we're taking your calls at 800-989-8255. Michael's on the line from Portland. Hi, Michael.
Good afternoon. I was wanting to ask the guest, if he could explain whether the PBGC actually has a segregated basket of assets from which they're able to make these payments, or is it much like the Social Security discussion that the country's been having recently, where funds have to be paid in by current employers to allow them to continue making their guaranteed payments?
No, this is not. This is different from Social Security. It's a very good question. It's not a pay-as-you-go system. We actually have more than $40 billion in assets that we manage, and those assets are available to pay out benefits. And last year, for example, we paid about $3.5 billion in benefit payments to more than 500,000 workers or retirees who had participated in pension plans that we assume responsibility for. So we do have a large pool of assets, and that pool of assets is growing. And unfortunately, it's growing for all the wrong reasons, because we take the assets in plans that we terminate. And at the same time, unfortunately, we take in additional liabilities, and those liabilities are much greater than those assets that we take in. In United case, I believe there are about $7 billion of assets in their pension plan. The problem is there are almost $17 billion in liabilities.
Thank you for your call, Michael. Let's go out to June in St. Paul. Hello, June.
Hello.
You have a question for us?
Yes, I have a comment. I was involved, my father and a number of relatives were involved in the iron ore companies in northern Minnesota that went bankrupt in the recent years. And one of the things that in their last union contracts that were negotiated, they were basically talked out of taking, you know, less in salary, less in hourly benefits, because we'll fund and you'll get a higher benefit at retirement, including in your pension plan. You'll be getting paid, if you retire at 60, you'll get paid health insurance until you can get Medicare at 65. And, of course, these people had no idea that when the company failed and the pension plan was wholly unfunded or underfunded, that anything but the actual pension benefits, those guarantees of health insurance, even some bonuses, if you took an early retirement at 60, they'd pay a little bonus until you could get Social Security at 62. None of that was covered. None of that was guaranteed. And thousands of people were thrown literally within months with no health insurance.
Thank you, June.
The caller certainly notes that one of the problems with the lack of information about pension benefits, not only defined benefits, but other benefits, health care benefits, the PBGC only stands behind basic pension benefits. We don't insure or cover some of these other benefits. And when a company does go into bankruptcy or liquidates or goes out of business, it's workers who stand to lose, and that's the real tragedy. I mean, it's fortunate that we have the capability right now as the insurer of pension plans to be able to step in and make sure that workers don't lose everything. That was the situation that existed before the pension insurance program was established in 1974 when companies failed. There may not have been any assets in the pension plan, and the workers stood to lose all the benefits that had been promised to them. That's no longer the case today. They still get, in most cases, most of the benefits they've been promised. We step in or are able to make good on those commitments. But the law does have limits, just as is the case for deposit insurance coverage for banks. There's a limit of $100,000, and if people have more than that in a bank and the bank is insolvent, they stand at risk of losing some of that money. So there are limits to coverage, but fortunately, most participants aren't adversely impacted by those limits.
All right, Bradley. Well, I want to thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Bradley Belt is the executive director of the Federal Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation. He joined us from his office here in Washington, D.C. That's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Frank Stacio. Join Neil Conan when he takes the show to Las Vegas tomorrow.